Start out by reading my theme chapter. It's Ezekiel chapter 34, and I believe that this is what God tells about gays in the Bible and the shepherds and pastors that preach against it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. For with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. And they that were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, and by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, saith the Lord, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, and between rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they that eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they that have that which ye have fouled with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between fat cattle and between lean cattle, because ye have thrust with the side and with the shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make them a covenant of peace, and I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the showers to come down from in his season. There shall be showers of blessings, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in the land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and have delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them, and they shall no more be a prey unto the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. I think, people, that it's time to get to understand what some of these scriptures are about in the Word of God. So many people nowadays want to talk about how Israel's lining up and what Russia's doing and when they're going to come and attack and stuff like that. But nobody wants to know what's going to happen in the church. God said before he comes back that he's going to come back to a church that is without spot or blemish. Today, the church has lots of spots and lots of blemishes, and he will not come back until that's taken care of. Some of these scriptures that I just read you tonight, have to deal with the cleansing of the church. Before Jesus will even consider coming back, the church will have to love the gay church. They have to come to them with their arms wrapped around them and love them and lift them up and to know that they are the Lord's. If they come to know Jesus Christ, then they are the Lord's. Nobody can pluck them out of his hand. You could sit up there and you can tell gay people that they are not saved, that they cannot go to heaven, that they're going to be going to hell, but you do not know what you're talking about. For gay people have come to Christ just the same way as any other Christian has, and that's through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary, that he died for our sins, and all our sinners. And I just praise God that he loves us, and that he's coming to us, and that he is doing exactly what he is doing in this chapter that I just read you. He has brought us back. He has established us, and he has given us shepherds of our own. There's a lot of prophecies that the Lord has given me concerning the church. And this is the day that God is being allowing me to present this to you. Many of the spiritual leaders of today that look out and condemn gay people, I tell you a prophecy that is going to happen. Many of these people are going to go on national television and they're going to bow down on their knees and they're going to ask and beg forgiveness of gay people for the sins that they have put upon them, for their persecution of them, for telling lies such as that gay is sin. They claim that they have all kinds of education about learning the Bible, going to college and things like that, yet they don't even understand the Word of God. They don't even look up the true meanings of the words, and they just go by traditions and customs. There's a lot of people out there that have been listening to those pastors and those shepherds that have been condemning gay people. Why don't you look for yourself? Why don't you open up the Bible? Why don't you get concordances? Why don't you get the original Greek and the original Hebrew and go back and look into these things? Sometimes it may not be easy, but because so much of the material that you can get today has the traditions already put into that. You have to go back and really check out into the Hebrew and the Greek. It's always kind of interesting how that people like to just pick groups of people and they can accuse them of anything they like. But one thing they don't like to do is go in amongst them. They don't want to go out and see who these people are. How many pastors have come into the gay church or have come in and visited with gay people? and those that are Christian gay people. They don't come to see how we are. I'm sure that, you know, if they would just for a moment, you know, decide to go to one of the gay churches here in Seattle, that they just sit there for a while and listen and just see if Jesus is here. They would like to rather call it, oh, it's a sodomite church, but they won't walk through the doors and see what's going on. They just sit back in their safety of their own church. Come, talk with us. I've written a lot of letters to a lot of pastors, and they don't even bother to write back. But when they do write back, they say that I'm going to die of AIDS or something like that. They say I'm going to hell. They say I need to repent. And then they say, well, when you decide to repent, then come talk to me. You know, like Pilate did. He washed his hands of the blood of Jesus and said that his blood is not on him anymore, that he can't be held accountable for it. Well, you will be held accountable. I challenge you, do come out and see us. Talk to us. We won't bite you. You don't need to be afraid of us. Talk to us. See what we have to say. Listen to us. Don't be afraid to come in our churches. There's nothing peculiarly different about the churches that you're afraid to go to. You condemn us, but you won't come out to us. Why don't you come out to us? You say you have outreach ministries, but how many outreaches come into the gay community? I haven't seen any. The only thing that I hear is that you announce in the safety of your pew or on a Christian network or something, go to one of these ex-gay churches or something, and get delivered or something like that. That's not the way that you need to be doing it. You need to take your people and go and start visiting gay people and see who they are. You tell people who we are, but you haven't even talked to us. Does that make any sense? I mean, does it make any sense to say, hey, look, these people are going to hell. These people are no good. You know, they're the vilest type of sin in the world. They can't go to heaven. They can't accept Jesus unless they repent. The only sign of them repenting and coming to the Lord Jesus is if they give up their sexual lifestyle. If they could make all these accusations, but not once go in and talk to a gay person, not once going into a gay church, They will bring in one of what I usually like to call one of their puppet ex-gays, because they surround them with people and really put a tremendous amount of pressure on them so that they can do just exactly what they like to say. Why don't they ask us to come and speak? Why don't the networks ask us to come and speak on it? We're the ones they're accusing. I'm a gay Christian. Why don't you ask me to come and speak in your church or on your networks instead of bringing somebody that you have surrounded and pointing out your interpretation of Scripture to? I've heard many testimonies from these so-called ex-gay churches and their leaders, and they're a far cry from gay testimonies of gays coming to Jesus. They shouldn't have put that up forth as doctrine. For Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Savior. I accepted Him over 12 years ago, and He has not forsaken me, not for one minute. He is my Lord, and He is my Savior. And I love Him very much, and I know He loves me. I came to the cross of Calvary, and I committed my entire life to Him. And He led me through the Bible. Yet, you accuse me of sinning and that I'm going to hell. How come? Is Jesus' blood unable to wash me? Is it unable to wash 500 million gay people? Isn't it kind of funny how come there's 500 million gay people, at least in the next 10 or 15 years, that according to the population statistics, there will be 500 million gay people in this world. I suppose that Jesus came to us and said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, except gay people, believe in him shall have eternal life. I suppose Jesus didn't die for 500 million gay people. That's when I go turn on the television and watch some of these evangelistic networks to come over. That's what they say. I mean, somehow or another, I guess these 500 million people are just not allowed. What do you think? Are we allowed to go to heaven? And if we come to Jesus, are we allowed to go to heaven? I think there's a lot of people out there, a lot of straight people out there, that just don't quite go along with what the pastors are telling them. You must feel something is not quite right. You hear all kinds of stories. I mean, can you believe what they're saying? One of the reasons that I am producing this program, and I'm doing the best I can right now, and I'm going to get better at it, I think, but one of the reasons that I'm producing this program is because I'm just tired of hearing people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, telling me such terrible things. I love to turn on the TV and watch the Christian networks. It's wonderful. But to hear them coming out and telling me I'm going to hell, and they bring people on and they just saturate the city with this message of hate and bigotry. Why can't you just listen to us? You'll be hearing a lot of us because a lot of us can't put up with this anymore. We're going to find out how we can speak. This is one of the ways that I found out that I can come on public access TV and speak. And the reason I found out this is because I turned it on one day and I found that there was this one ministry that comes on that just attacks gays like crazy. And I just finally got fed up with it. I called the access station and sure enough they said, yeah, come on. You could speak whatever you wish. So here I am. I'm coming to speak. And to me this is fantastic. I have an opportunity. And other gays have opportunities to show you. We're people. You know, we have problems and we have fun. And many of us love Jesus. Many of you may have questions. Feel free to write or call. And I'll try to do the best I can to answer, because I'm going to continue producing programs for this station. But just for, you know, try to understand. We're not your enemy. Christians, we're not your enemy. We're your brothers and sisters. We're your sons and your daughters. We're your mothers and your fathers, your aunts and your uncles. There's groups of people that want to bring about laws that says that your sons and daughters can't rent. They have to live on the street, I guess, or they can't have jobs. That's what they're saying. That's what the amount of this law that these people like the concerned citizens of King County, they're bringing up about petitions to try to, you know, they want us to lose our jobs. They want us to be on the street. Well, I wonder who will pay our unemployment insurance, or who will pay our welfare if we can't work because our bosses can have the right to fire us. And you think they're firing gay people. No, they're not firing gay people. They're firing your sons and your daughters. You don't think about that side of it. How would you like your daughter or your son to get fired? If you think about it on a personal level, because we're people. We have mothers and we have fathers. We have brothers and sisters. You know, the churches, they have a hate message. They may not want to call it a hate message, but it's a hate message. Because they're teaching our parents to hate us. And Jesus tells us to love one another. to love your enemy. But how many gay people have been kicked out of their house? How many gay people have been disowned by their parents? And why? Because they were taught that gay is sin. And the worst sin that there ever was. And so they're willing to see their son or daughter live out on the streets. Now this is not going to happen. But this is essentially what they're saying in their hearts that they are willing to do. They're willing for this to happen. Are you willing for that to happen? You could speak up. The addresses of these people are given out, and you can write to them and say, hey, we don't agree with you. You can write to the networks, the Christian networks. We got one right here in Seattle, Channel 20. It's based in Tustin, California, in the Los Angeles area. 24 hours a day. The last few years, they've been getting really, really heavy on attacking gay people. And this year, they started a major campaign against gay people. I suppose they think gay people is going to sit around. Well, I'm not going to sit around and have them come into my living room and tell me that I'm going to hell. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to have to find that out. And God's teaching me exactly how to go about it. And this is one of the ways. I'm going to come to people. I'm going to come to pastors, and I'm going to talk to them personally, and I'm completely committed to doing this. Talk to you a little bit about Jesus now, and why he came here to this earth so long ago, about 2,000 years now. He came because he came to die for our sins. He came, he was born of a virgin, and he lived about 33 years, and they nailed him to the cross. And he told us that whoever believes in him, that he is the Son of the living God, and confess him with their mouths, that they can have eternal life, that he'll forgive their sins, and that they forever can live with him. Now I'd like to ask those that may not know Jesus as their Savior, that maybe you'll take this time right now just to invite him in, just ask him to save you. It's a simple little prayer that you can pray. You can say, Dear Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I know that I'm a sinner, and I come to you now, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into me now, Lord Jesus, and save me. And I thank you for saving me. That's all it is. Just ask Jesus in any way that you will. Ask him to come in. Tell him that you believe in him, that he died for your sins, that God raised him on the third day. He really wants to get to know you. He wants to be your friend. You can talk to him as a friend because he loves you so much that you can talk to him and he will come in your life and help you to live. And he will forgive your sins, for all have sinned. There's no need to go out and point out sins or call one sin greater than the other. All have sinned. And we all need Jesus for his death on the cross and his shed blood paid the price for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus also has a gift that he says that he will send another comforter. Now this comforter is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus would want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you that comforter that will help you live. and give you a better understanding of Jesus and a more closer relationship with Him. And it's just as simple as asking Him. Just ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I like reading in Acts, it says that the initial evidence is speaking in other tongues. But whether you speak in other tongues or not isn't really the thing that's important here. You can read the book of Acts and speak for yourself and how that you want to deal with that. But Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And anyone that asks, He says that He will give that. So ask Him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit also. And I just praise God and I thank Him for the things that He's doing. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for tuning in, and I would hope that you would turn this way again next time that we come on the air. Be sure to write or call and let me know how you feel. Yeah.